gorgeous afternoon for playoff baseball. Let's give it up for JT Snow again
JT
being
Snow
here.
JT Snow in the house, the public house.
Boy, you are very popular. I want to tell you that.
Why are you so surprised, Marty?
Come on. You know, it's 10
Played
years.
Played here for 9 years.
But it's 10 years.
JT, Marty's used to getting all the attention out here.
Come on. And I want to tell you, he's very patient. This is very nice. You're great with the fans. You really are. Thank you. Very nice.
Good stuff. Thank you.
Glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Boy, give some perspective from a ballplayer standpoint. What's going on in the locker room right now? What are they thinking about?
I was just in there, and you couldn't tell it was game one of a playoff. It seemed like game 59 of the season.
Wow.
Guys are loose. They're playing some music, watching a little college football. Terrio's in there bragging about LSU.
Sure he is.
I was just in there watching.
Is LSU winning, by the way?
I think they're beating Florida.
That's my team.
I was in there watching a little Arizona-Stanford.
How's that going down on the farm?
It's a shootout. It's like 34-33 right now.
Really?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's a good game. I was listening to Dave Fleming on the way in on the radio.
Is he going to make it to the park here tonight?
Yeah, he says he is.
They might have to helicopter him in.
I know.
Yeah, he said
he's insane.
Something about Hoover Tower. Is that part of Stanford or something?
Yeah, I think so. Rick
and
Bellison giving us an
eye. And then he's
going
to be there to Coit Tower in one day. He's going to do both of those.
That is awesome.
So, it's loose. It's loose in the clubhouse. It's good. Guys are having a good time and filling out their ticket lists and getting ready to go.
Is that good?
It's great.
It is good.
Yeah,
okay.
It's good.
You want to see that?
Yeah, absolutely. You'd be nervous if it was real quiet in there.
Okay.
You know, and usually most of the time the players will leave the starting pitcher alone. You know, you kind of have superstitions where you don't talk to the starting pitcher, you let him do his thing. Matt Cain's always been very good about talking the day he pitches, you know. Ryan Vogelsong, on the other hand, no one talks to him. You know, he likes to get in his own world.
Can't even talk to him during the week.
Right. So it's good. I think that the Giants have enough players that have been in playoff situations. They've got enough carryover from 2010. They've also got a guy like Terrio that won it with the Cardinals last year, won a World Series. Yeah. And he actually got up. There was a meeting yesterday before the workout, and Boach got up and talked and just told the guys to keep plugging away and enjoy these next – however many days it is, enjoy them. Don't change anything. Keep working. And when you walk out of that clubhouse door to the field for the game, you know, leave it all on the field. And Terrio actually got up, which I thought was great. And he said a few words also about being on a championship team last year. Matt Cain said a few words. So they got great leadership. It's a great clubhouse, and it was a good workout yesterday. So they're ready to go.
Boy, nice. All right, this matchup, Johnny Cueto and Matt Cain. JT, I said the way the schedule broke down, it's an unusual year, two here and then three on the road, and you've been through this five-game series before. I think it's sort of there for the Giants. If they pitch and do their thing, they could win a couple of games here.
It's absolutely there because the way it's set up, like you said, in 97, my first year here with the Giants, we win the West, and it's the same situation, 3-2. We face the Marlins. They're the wild card team. We got to go to Florida and play two games, and we got to face Kevin Brown and Al Leiter in their stadium. We lose both of those games. And I remember flying back on the plane. We're like, this ain't no home field advantage.
Sure.
You know, you got to face her 1-2. So they came back and won the third game and swept us. But it's definitely set up for the team with the third best record, right? I mean, the Giants have the third best record. So anything can happen, but it would be nice. It'd be nice to get one, but if you can get two, I mean, that's just unbelievable.
Especially when you pitch. Like you said with the Marlins, you know, and this isn't a team where, you know, you're going to get into a situation where you say, oh my goodness, we got to throw Bumgarner in the second game. I mean, you're excited to throw him in the second game.
Absolutely. You got to go with, obviously, your number one, and then I know that people have been saying go with this guy in the second or third, but you got to go with your number one and two guys the first two games out. And I think it helps the Giants because in this ballpark, the Giants are going to play like they always play. Yeah. And I think it's going to affect the Reds a little bit because they're used to playing in a ballpark, an offensive ballpark, and now they come here. I don't think they're strong offensively. And now when we go over to Cincinnati, the Reds are going to be who they normally are. And I think the Giants get bumped up a little bit. And you might see a Gregor Blanco, a Brandon Crawford, somebody hit a home run or – you know, have a big game offensively. So.
An Xavier Nady type, right?
Sure, yeah, exactly.
What do you think about Leto starting game three? Me and Marty were kicking it around, and Leto's has always had a kind of a feisty relationship with the Giants fans. My immediate thought was, well, Dusty doesn't want Leto's here. Giants fans getting in his dome. But then the great Rick Bellison did the work, and Latos is a run better at home.
Well, I know Dusty, and I know the way he operates, and I guarantee you that was one of the things he was thinking about, because that's the way Dusty thinks. He thinks about, where am I going to get the best out of my guy? Mm-hmm. So let's just take that out of the equation, because he knows that. But a couple years ago, he threw a ball through Dave Fleming's sunroof of his car,
right,
and he wrote, I hate San Francisco on a ball. And so,
Matt Latos.
Yeah, you know, at the bottom line in the playoffs is whoever's out there,
yep,
you got to go out and beat that guy. And I said it yesterday. We were on the air, and, you know, the best team doesn't always win, but the team that plays the best is going to win. So watch for defense. Well, I think this is going to be a pitching and defense series, and then I think – it's going to be a bullpen series, because they're going to be matchups. Boch went with 12 pitchers, and this could get – Cincinnati's got a great bullpen, but so do the Giants. And it's going to get into the later innings where it's going to be matchup. It's going to be long, tedious, drawn-out games, you know, and but that's the way it's going to be. So we'll see what happens.
Okay.
You know, JT with us. Nice to have JT talking ball with us, really, as always. Great analysis.
Thank you. I
love having you on with us.
Big time.
Blanco, Belt, Crawford, never been in a playoff before. Pagan was part of the Cubs, never made the roster before. What's going through their mind right now?
Well, they're going to be nervous. And we talked, you know, it's neat that Boch lets guys like myself and Sean Dunson and Will Clark come back. And yesterday during the workout, we kind of made our rounds, and I was hanging out with Belt at first base while he was taking ground balls. And he actually asked me about that, you know, what's it going to be like tomorrow? And I said, it's going to be like something you've never experienced. Your adrenaline, I said, you just have to don't make the situation bigger than it is. Remember to breathe, relax. And I said, you're going to be amped up. And it's the team that can control the emotions, the pitcher that can throw the strikes, the hitters that can have the good at-bat when it's needed. And these guys are all fired up. So I remember my first time in the postseason, and looking back, it's great. I mean, you're nervous. You have butterflies. You want to play well. You want to make a big play or get a big hit. And, you know, I was telling somebody yesterday during the workout that I think a dark horse in this series for me, with the Reds going with four right-handed pitchers, is going to be a guy like Brandon Crawford, because he's going to play every game now.
Right.
He's going to be in there against four righties. And he's the kind of guy that can win a game with his glove. He's going to make and Belt's probably going to get a chance to face four righties. And those guys mentally now know that Crawford knows I'm going to play 4 days in a row. He's got a chance to play nine innings every day. And he's the kind of guy that can win a game with his glove. And you're going to see some spectacular defense. And batting in the eight hole, protecting that pitcher, you know, does Boch or does Dusty hit for the pitcher? Do they let him hit? It's a great thing about the National League. And when do you turn it over to the bullpen?
Yeah.
You know, so it's exciting.
Wow. Oh, nice to have JT with us. Now, everybody out here at Hawaiian Airlines, we have our contest going.
Sure do.
Tomorrow. Everybody signed up? Yeah. Hawaiian Airlines. Hawaii takes you.
Hawaii flies with us, right, Marty, at about 5:20 tomorrow. We're going to hook somebody up with a trip for two to one of three islands in the Hawaiian archipelago.
Yeah, so sign up. It's the best contest in the history of radio, I will tell you that.
Especially during the playoffs, Marty.
Yeah, and you got a heck of a chance of winning, so we'll do that tomorrow. So make sure everybody signs up with that. Are you okay to hang around?
Absolutely.
All right, so JT will stay with us. I want to ask him a little bit about this five-game series and the ebb and flow of a five-game series and how it changes, and a little bit more about this matchup with the Reds. Can you over-scout a team? Can you give the players too much information because the stakes are higher? Mm-hmm. I want to ask about that.
Perfect.
More coming up right here on the Sports Leader.
KNBR 680.
I saw you so much over the winter, you know, working on the shoulder down there. I'd come over to Indian school and you'd be out there working. So the future for you, how do you feel about the future?
Oh, I feel good. You know, I feel good. I'll be ready to go, you know, in spring training. But, you know, for now, you know, it's not about me. It's about me being here. And you know, these guys have had a great year, and I'm just excited to be up here to get my support.
Well, I'm glad to see you, Freddie Sanchez. I know the fans would be glad to hear your voice. You were such a hero of 2010. What does it take?
in the playoffs and World Series. Well, what advice would you give somebody?
As best you can, try to just do what you did throughout the year. It's the same game. Keep it simple. Your emotions are already running high as it is. You know, try to do the best you can do and have fun with it. You know, still enjoy the game. Still go out there and play. You know, it's a game that we love and we've played, you know, our whole life. So that's about it. Just keep it simple and do what you did throughout the year, you know, which is have fun and play hard.
This five-game series changes like the weather, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely it's one of those where you just go out and play, and hopefully everything goes your way.
Pleasure to see you. Very nice to see you. Freddie Sanchez, thanks for being on.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mark.
KNBR's Giants pregame continues. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
Nice to hear Freddie Sanchez's voice, huh? Yeah, he's doing well, and he's working out down in Arizona. I don't know what his future may be with the Giants, but he sounds like he can play baseball again. JT, nice to hear that about Freddie. You probably saw Freddie yesterday.
Yep, he was out at the workout. He's had a long, long, tough year, and it's hard. And it's hard sitting and rehabbing. And I don't know. I've never been in those shoes, but I can imagine that it's tough sitting at home. Not being able to contribute.
And just seeing him, it brought it back how good he was. I mean, this guy was a heck of a second baseman.
Guy won a batting title.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and look, against Cliff Lee.
Right.
Come on, he started that World Series off and took care of business.
Exactly.
You talk about big people stepping up in big games.
Right.
Unbelievable.
All right. JT is with us again. Nice to have JT here, as always. All right, everybody lining up to sign in our Hawaiian Airlines contest as well. JT, can you overscout a team and give the players too much information? I say this about for Matt Cain and for Cueto. They're two outstanding pitchers. Cueto, one win away from 20. Cain, 16-5, the perfect game. Well, don't throw Phillips this. Make sure you don't do that to Cozart. These are veteran pitchers. Give me the ball and let me just do my thing.
I think you can have too much information, but every player is different. Some guys like a lot of information, some guys don't. And it's the advanced scout's job to bring up all that information to the players, and it's what you do as a player with it. You know, Cueto is not going to show up tonight with a new pitch,
right?
He throws what he throws. Same with Matt Cain. They're not going to show up tonight with a screwball or a, you know, sidearm split finger or something. So you watch video on them. The main thing the guys are doing, the hitters are doing, is they're going back over tapes on how Cueto got them out or how Matt Cain did not get a certain hitter out. And it's up to the pitcher and the catcher to get together, and they'll get together before the game, and I'm sure they've done it the last couple of days, going over the report on how they want to pitch certain guys. And then it's when the game started, still the game. You go out between the white lines, and you have you've done your homework. You go out and you try and make things happen, and you try and make a pitch, or you try and hit a mistake. And a lot of times you'll see a play not made, or a curveball that hangs in the zone, or a fastball that runs back over the plate, and the hitters will take advantage of that. So it's up to the individual player. Some guys love a lot of information, some guys don't.
How about you? Did you like it?
I was in the middle, I think. I think the more I had, the more it can clog you up a little bit. I want to know what the pitcher throws. Fastball, tails, and cuts. He's got a curveball, 12-6 curveball, and changeup. And what is his out pitch? What is he going to throw in a certain situation, in a 1-2 situation or a 2-2 situation? How's he going to try and get me out? I try to stay away from, you're 10 for 21 off this guy. Because then you're a false sense of security. Like, oh, I own this guy, you know. And on the other hand,
but you know in your mind.
You absolutely know in your mind. You know when you got a guy's number. But on the other hand, you could be 2 for 18 off a guy, but yet I've hit 9 balls line drive outs. Yeah. You know, so you know every hitter sees the ball differently off each pitcher. It's why some great hitters struggle against a pitcher that a lesser hitter has a lot of success off. It's all about seeing the baseball out of his hand and his release point, and just trusting yourself. Your work starts when you're in the dugout, when you're in the hole, you're up third that inning. Then when you get to the on-deck circle, you work on your little bit of timing. And you have your game plan and your approach that you're going to try and stay with. I'm going to look for this pitch, first pitch, or I'm going to take it, or I'm in this situation, I'm going to sit on this pitch. Buster Posey does an unbelievable job of that. You know, you watch him, his at-bats during a game, and he'll sit on certain pitches. And so that's the fascinating thing about hitting and baseball and – And then you watch someone like Hunter Pence on deck, and you wonder how in the heck the guy ever gets a hit, right?
I think he's going to be a big part of this thing. I tell you, because of Posey and Dusty knows this stuff. He's not going to let Posey beat him.
Well, and in the meetings you have, you have your team meeting before the series, and you always pencil one guy. This guy is not going to beat us in a game, or he's not going to beat us in the series. We're going to take him out. Offensively, we're going to make him get himself out. We're going to walk him if we have to. And there's always one guy, and sometimes there's two or three other guys. And you know Dusty and Reds pitching coach or
Brian Price.
Brian Price are not going to let Buster Posey beat them in a situation. Yeah. So that's when that's why when I played here, Jeff Kent was so big, right? Because they'd walk Barry, and Jeff would make him pay every time. And they walked Barry every time, and Jeff would come through all the time. So
amazing.
It's the guys behind Posey that are going to have to come up big.
JT, on the inverse, who are the Giants looking at in the Reds lineup? I mean, Votto, obviously the reigning MVP, but he's been down because of the injury. Is it Bruce, Ludwig? Who are they targeting to shut down or try to anyways?
I'm assuming it's Votto because you've got Kane, a righty, and Votto's a lefty. He hasn't been as good as he was before he got hurt.
Right.
But then, you know, it's certain other guys. Like, we've got to keep this guy off base, you know.
Brandon Phillips
or Stubbs can run. Bruce can. These guys can run and steal a base. So, you know what? You get your scouting report, you get your approach, and then you get into the game and you go with it. And if you execute your pitches, and when the ball's put in play, you make plays defensively. You can't give teams like this 29 outs, 30 outs, 31 outs in a game. You got to give them 27 outs because they'll make you pay.
Boy, 808-KMBR is our number. If you want to get in and talk with JT, this is a real chance to talk some baseball with JT Snow. JT here, isn't it great having him here? No, it is. Great analysis. I've told you this all year long. I love having you out here to break the game down for the fans. It's terrific.
Well, it's fun because when you're a player and you're playing, you don't realize everything going on. You're worried about your job, and I always worry about going out playing first base and getting some hits. And when you're out of the game, you have a chance to step back and you have a chance to watch the whole game and all the positions, and you can watch and you learn a lot, and you see how the manager works and the coaches and some of the different players. And I've really had a chance to step back and enjoy the game, and it's fun to break it down.
Yeah.
And because when you're playing, you don't really do that. You're so wrapped up in what you have to do. You know, nine guys doing their own job. That's what they're trying to do.
Well, you make it easy, and that's the best part. All right, let me ask you this about the five-game series. You were there in 97,
right?
The Mets, of course, you had the big home run against the Mets, a great series against Atlanta, five-game series in 02. Then you got the Marlins in 03 again. You've been down the road of this five-game series. You like it, don't like it, and what's the key to the deal here?
I like it for the first round, and the key to the deal is to get that first one.
Get the first game.
And score early in these games, right?
Okay.
Get out early, you know, bottom of the first. Let's get a guy on. Let's get him over. I think little ball and small ball and situational hitting is always key.
Okay.
You know, you're going to see guys do things in the postseason that they may not normally do during the regular season. Maybe they bunt him over, you know, a sack fly, ground out with a guy on third with the infield back. And you really got to take your at-bats individually, and you really got to come through, make each at-bat count. If you get down two games to none, it's tough to sweep any team. That's the drawback of the five-game. The seven-game, you feel like you have a little more flexibility, even if you get down two games or if you lose that first one. But I just don't know how – this is a home field advantage for the Cincinnati Reds, who deserve it because they had the better record. But to start with two games here at AT&T with some of the loudest crowds and the best fans, that's a tough way to open up.
How do the fans impact the game from a player's standpoint?
They're big. The players will tell you that they feed off it. They can feel the energy.
But it's not football. It's still baseball. You sort of want to be within yourself, right?
Right. You have to stay within yourself, but the thing you can feel is in baseball is you can feel the momentum when a rally's coming. The leadoff guy gets on. Now the crowd gets a little loud. Now the guy hits a gapper, and you got second, third, and nobody out.
That'd be the Blue Angels going overhead.
Really?
Rocking and rolling.
You know, I can relate it when in 02, the World Series in Anaheim, when they had the Thunder Sticks. I mean, it was so loud in there, it was really hard to concentrate.
Okay.
And talking to players around the league, and there's been surveys done, and this ballpark here has voted some of the roughest fans in the game. The fans down the right field line by the bullpen can help out when they get a reliever up, and they, you know, they do their little thing when the guy's throwing or when the guy's on deck. Just anything above the dugout, you can get in players' heads a little bit. So it helps. I mean, this is a great place to play. It's a great home field advantage, and the Giants are going to have to deal with that when they go back to Cincinnati.
All right, 808 KMBR, Ray on a cell. JT is here. Patrick is with me. We're live at the Public House.
Good stuff.
Go ahead, Ray. What do you got on KMBR 680?
Yeah, Marty, I was just wondering, the Giants can take just one out of the two, possibly two. Would it make sense to put Barry Zito as the starting pitch for game three only because Reds might start to press, and Zito, you have to kind of wait on him. You have to watch out for that curveball, the changeup. Wouldn't that kind of play in the play, you think?
All right, well, let's talk about it. Thanks, Ray, for the call and for the question. JT, you've watched a lot of Zito this year.
Right.
Comfortable with him getting a start in this thing?
In the playoffs, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, he deserves it.
Okay.
I think he absolutely deserves it. He's had a great year. I like him starting rather than relieving. The thing here is you got Kane going the first game, a righty. You got Bumgarner, a lefty.
Right.
And then you have a day off. And if you come back with a righty the third game, and if Dusty's going to platoon, the guys that started game one are now going to have to wait 2 days before they start game three. And then you can come back with a lefty in the fourth game. So I've always been a big fan. I know as a hitter it was tough when you went – righty-lefty, because guys are in the lineup one day, then they're out of the lineup the next day. And as a hitter, you want at-bats every day, consistent at-bats to keep your timing. So anytime you can spread it out like that, lefties and righties, I think it's a huge advantage. And the Reds are going to go with all right-handed pitchers,
sure.
So Boach can stack it up with lefties every day, and then he can play his chess game with Dusty pinch hitting as the game goes on in the later inning. So,
well, I hadn't thought of it that way. So, in other words, you go lefty in game two, righty in game three, and
lefty in game four.
And you've sat down the guys from game one. You're waiting. They played today, and they won't play again until Tuesday.
Exactly.
Okay.
Crazy stuff.
That's a good variable. Yeah. Hey, inside baseball.
Well, he knows what he's doing. JT, let me ask you a question.
You
want
to manage? Come on. You want to?
That'd be fun.
Fantasy league. Oh, you're a good manager in the fantasy league. All right.
let me ask you about perception. Perception's reality. That's the old cliche. Barry Zito, we all feel like he had such a great year. He pitched big games, including ending the streak, losing streak to open the season. But his ERA this season is identical to 2010. So, I mean, why do we feel that way? Is it just the big games he pitched in? I mean, he got left off the roster in 2010. We want to see him pitch in the NLDS.
I think also because when the games he pitched, the team won.
Yeah.
Whether he got the win or he didn't get the win. I'm a huge believer in looking at ERA over any other pitching stat.
Okay.
ERA tells a story. You can get lucky and win games. You can pitch great and lose games. But if you just watched him pitch, I mean, it's
felt
totally
different.
Yeah, I mean, it looked better. It felt better. The walks were down. And I think, you know, it comes a point in your career where you get older and you lose a little bit. And I think he's learned how to pitch and he's learned how to use that curveball and change speeds. And I was saying yesterday with Fitz, if Kurt Reeder can pitch for 10 or 12 years in big leagues, I saw what Kurt Reeder had. No disrespect to Kurt. He's a great friend of mine. But he got people out, keeping it on the corner, sinking it. And guys used to get down to first base if they got it hit or they walked. And the first thing they would say to me is, I have no idea in the world how this guy gets me out.
Scratching their heads.
Yeah, but he does. And you learn how to pitch.
I got a question. I'm glad you remind me of that. Someone called last night and asked the question, during the playoffs, you talk to guys at first base during the regular season. Is it different during the playoffs?
No, it's pretty much the same.
The same kind of chatter back and forth?
Same chatter. A lot of times guys will get down there, and it's neat because players are all we're kids at heart, and we understand that the stage is big, and guys will get down there and say, you know, this is pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, look at the crowd, look at the rally rags, look at all the media, the cameras, and I don't think players ever lose sight of that, you know. So in the postseason, guys will get down there and, you know, this is pretty cool, isn't it? Yeah, it's great. Yeah, and you'll say what you normally do. Hey, you know, great year, or nice job, or Pels a family, or, you know, because most guys have played against somebody or with them throughout sometime throughout their career. So the conversation is not much different, but you step back and you enjoy you enjoy the stage, and it's fun to be a part of.
Awesome. What a story. Boy, JT Snow here, folks.
Very good, JT.
You got it.
Yeah, real. Boy, great stuff. And tomorrow you come back, hopefully, if you have time.
Yeah. Well,
3 o'clock tomorrow.
We can break game
one
down.
Yeah, a pleasure. Boy, thanks so much. JT Snow, let's hear it for him again.
Very good.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, JT.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Go ahead, Jay.
No, I was going to say, I had a funny story. I ran into a guy on the street, and he said, Is our middle relief ready to go tonight? And I said, they're not going to have to because Kane's going to throw a complete game. We're going to win.
All right. Boom. Just like that.
Very good. All right, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.